Hi. Gaze.
Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. You know, there are many versions of the Bible these days, and do you know much about them? It's kind of interesting to know that, generally speaking, no you don't. Now, some of you that think that you know a lot about history and where the Bible's come from, you know, I listen to you. And it seems like what you're doing is quoting the people that you're learning from, like your pastor or something. There's no apparent research that you've done except as everything else in the world. You go to where your leaders point you, and you don't go any further. You don't step out of the box. You don't do your own faith. You rely on others' people's faith. You believe everything of the people that you believe you trust. And this is not a very good thing to do these days concerning the church. You see, there's a process. You know, the Bible's pretty big. And there's a process to get to the last days. And there's a significant set of events that happens. And sometimes some of these events, when they click in, changes things. And something happened when Israel became a nation. It was one of those things that had a changes things effect. Who cares about what nations are doing and what wars are being fought or any other kinds of things or what things you can point to around the world? That has nothing to do with when Israel became a nation. Of course, there's lots of things to do with it, but what I'm trying to say is there's something in the spiritual area of things, in the plan of God, that clicks. There's certain clocks that begin. There's certain clocks that stop. Things won't happen no matter how hard anybody tries. It just isn't going to happen. Any kind of fanciful scenario, like, let's just say, global warming, kind of interesting. Every single scientist, it seems, at least they tell us on CNN, believes we're in global warming. Well, it doesn't really matter anything about the disasters that can come from global warming. You see, as a Christian, we have the Bible that tells us what's going to happen. It says there's going to be 1,000 years where the world is in pretty good shape. You can eat the leaves of trees and get healed. And much more. You don't have any indication that in this 1,000-year period that hasn't started yet, that there's any calamity brewing in nature. The world isn't going to overheat. Things like that aren't going to happen. There's not going to be a big enough meteor that's going to crash into the earth. It just isn't going to happen. There's going to be some pretty serious things that happen at specific times and not before. So we can't be thinking here right now, mysteriously, some meteor's going to, or comet's going to appear in the sky and wipe out something on earth. It's not going to happen that way. The Bible does refer to meteors and such, or these is the best we can describe them, as falling and hitting earth. But are we going to believe God's word, or are we going to believe scientists? The scientists are always in the phase of catching up to God's word. If scientists really wanted to know, are we in danger, then they can see that we have at least 1,000 years left to go before any doom happens. You know, when the earth will melt away, and the sun will melt away, the universe melts away, and a new creation, a new earth, a new sun, as such, will be made out of... So, when we are reviewing things and understanding how to put the pieces of the puzzle together, are we going to be really concerned about global warming, or is global warming 90% ways to gather tax to make the filthy rich even more rich? To get more control? Reading behind the scenes, pretty much it is that the elite of the New World Order, the Antichrist Kingdom, wants to pretty much do away with the United States as we know it. Want to partition it off into huge, human-free zones by creating a wildlife refuge of sorts, a park with no humans are allowed to enter, that covers whole states. These are the things that are going on behind the scenes. There's different motives than global warming. You see, things aren't going to happen necessarily the way that we're told. We grow up and we learn things. We go to school and they teach us all manner of stuff. Us old folks, you know, can easily go back and say, well, this is what we're taught. And today, much of what we were taught is simply not true. Some things are always going to be true, but lots of stuff, you get a little bit of the picture, something that you know something happened around such and such time. And then you get a massive input of all these documentaries and everything that goes into some wonderful detail. Just fantastic watching all this information. But now you're getting a whole bunch of new information that seems to kind of mess with the old information or adds a ton of information that was left out. Makes it far more interesting of what really happened. But even in this kind of stuff, they leave out a lot of stuff because there is mega parts of history that was going on in these types of time that is directly reflected in what the Bible is doing with God and with Satan, what the process of coming up to Jesus' second return is. You got to have all these kinds of pieces of the puzzle put together to figure things out or to know things or to be able to withstand the onslaught of the great deceptions that are about to happen. We're different than all the other Christians that's ever lived because we live after Israel became a nation. You see, this generation won't pass away. So we're in the period of time that will, in fact, have great deceptions. Now, how could great deceptions work very well if we had a really perfect, wonderful Bible, Word of God? Well, it just won't, because we have a lot of ammunition that really defines who Jesus is as the Christ, the Son of God, that it would be pretty hard for Satan to trick us, to fake us out. But if we have some sort of Bible that's a counterfeit, that looks so real, and we can't tell the difference, we just read it and we just think it is, and we're told that it's little words that doesn't make that much difference. What modern vision versions were told is that you could look at the Bible like this. Then you grab another version, and you can look at the Bible like this. Then you get another version, and you can look at the Bible like this. And you get another version, you can look like that. And you get another version, you can look like that, you know? You get all angles of the Bible, and you read them all, and you're getting this whole 360-degree picture of the Bible, as it were. So you're sitting there thinking you know more than anybody, and you really got it cool. That's not what modern versions are about, people. There's a particular time that modern versions first came to be. And I'm not talking about modern versions as in the English form that we see today, but it's the original manuscripts were written and then translated into Latin Vulgate in the 2nd century. Now, this particular version, just for an easy way to explain it, disappeared. He was totally converted. All the same types of manuscripts and everything, all the books and everything, identical to the actual Bible, the real manuscripts. Except they're counterfeit. This was put into a Latin Vulgate document. And somehow hidden, lost, who knows, purposely done. You see, it's not lost. Satan's not stupid. He's a counterfeiter. And what good is giving counterfeit away when it won't do any good? People just use it and they'll die and go to heaven, you know? If the dollar bill looks really good and everything, and there's no way to tell the difference, guess what? You can use it to your heart's content. But once somebody tells you, look for this, how are you going to use a counterfeit? Because now you can hold up that bill and say, yeah, I see it. You know, it's not Washington in that picture. It's Mickey Mouse. It's a counterfeit. But, you know, counterfeits are much more sophisticated than so obvious, like Monopoly money. But the Bible was counterfeited. And how is it effective for Satan to let people read a counterfeit Bible when there's nothing to support it? So that no matter what it is, you see, to make a lie really good, you have to just sock it in there with truth. But you have to be able to manipulate words in a manner that as you're reading it, you don't particularly realize you're reading counterfeits. It's a perfect conditioning tool. But if there's nothing on the exterior to support the counterfeit, then, hey, you know, yes, you could look kind of this view, and you kind of look this view, and you so forth, and you always have the original to go back to, you know, if you want to get the mushy real stuff, and so forth, and you'll probably do okay, and you die, and your face is still in good shape, so you got to go to heaven, because you still believe that Jesus is the Christ, and so forth. But then if the time comes that now there are going to be... See, Satan is just not one place. It's not going to just take one thing to make Antichrist kingdom. See, if we believe Satan is real and that Jesus is real and the Bible is real, then we have to also believe that there is got to be tons of work going outside our church walls in the world. And it's just not fanciful thinking, oh, the new age is coming. You know, we got some kind of stuff, the trends and patterns of things is getting more evil, and so, you know, this is how our concept of how Antichrist came. We've got, no. Individually, people, real, live people, have pretty good contact with Satan by various means. Or they're so influenced by people that do, that they're able to make a government happen. They're able to form secret societies, as it was. They're able to rule. Now, in government today, in big business today, how many times do we see how they're caught in lies and scandals and everything, and we usually don't know it for a while until they've stolen billions sometime. How'd they get away with it so long? Well, they can get it away with it at that long of a period. What about the father of lies, the father of deceptions? And so, the counterfeit Bible is no more than a real Bible if there's nothing to back it up. If it is taking Christ out of Jesus and maybe putting it into somebody else, because after this, to summarize it really quick, modern versions have 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. So in these 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions, you have a process that is converting Jesus over to that man over there that we love to call Antichrist. And we're so much in loving to call him Antichrist, and maybe some of us like to try to figure out who he might be, that we lose sight of the fact that he might look just like Jesus. And we love to say, oh, he's going to be maybe like a prince in shining armor. Everybody's going to love him at first. Well, this is a picture of Jesus. And if you're being conditioned that maybe things in the Bible aren't quite as hunky-dory as we once thought, now if you had the King James Version and you went back to that, and you'd see, well, no, it's there, it's plain as day. I mean, it's just almost every sentence has got to say that Jesus is a Christ. Well, you go to a modern version, and it's hard. You're hard-pressed to find that Jesus is the Christ. We assume it. Modern version relies on our assumption. Because you already got a fundamental background, your preacher's already preaching, your pastor's already pastoring, and the information you're already getting is Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead. We have this assumption. This is our faith. This is what we believe. So when we read another book, we can supply this belief into the words. But you see, we have a variety of input. We have our knowledge base that we work on in our brains. You know, our brains can be almost analyzed like a computer, a little bit more sophisticated. It can be a while before they get any kind of computer to do what a brain can do. I mean, computers can do them faster and sometimes more reliable and everything, but you got that wild card to the brain. And humans can only take care of it. And it's going to be a while before they figure out this wild card to make computers be able to figure this kind of stuff out. And so we supply information and fill in the holes. We know that we can look at something and it ain't there. But because that a lot of it is there, our brain actually manifests a video filling in the gaps so we can see what is not there. It's pretty remarkable, some of the things we learn, what our brain does to make us see the picture. And that's what we're doing when we're reading things and doing other stuff. And reading is a kind of a two-way kind of street, because we're analyzing what we read. But what that stuff is getting inside, and you see, you can't change. You didn't create it. All of your definitions, all of your anything, is not going to make anything different than what the actual text is that you're reading. And that's going in and being recorded inside your brain. You might not think that you're memorizing the Bible. But no matter what, that is getting in and to the processes inside your brain. And we like to call it conditioning, because this kind of stuff is imprinting. And now, and then all you can do is interpret and translate and put your opinion to it and so forth, and listen to others and agree and disagree and so forth and all that. But then the time comes, now there's something over here that's outside your body, that's been done by others. It's out there in the natural things, and in the mountains and the air and all these kinds of stuff. And there it is. What are you going to do about it? It's there. And it's so real. The Father counterfeiting is out there counterfeiting, and he's pretty good at it. After all, you believe all the modern versions, don't you? And so now we can have some counterfeit stuff. You know, counterfeit, when it comes to history and stuff and getting, placing things in, you got to start earlier. Any secret society person that's alive today has only been alive for the past 100 years or less. And then before that, it was somebody else. So they had to keep passing down. Well, Satan's been alive the whole time. and his demons and everything, and he knows generally the time frame of the Bible and so forth, and he knows pretty smart how to write a book so that he can have his ending, so he thinks. And even all of us tell him, so he thinks, you know, like, you know, how many times has he heard he toast? Well, it ain't slowing him down. And so he set things up 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, that won't be any use whatsoever till today. He planted it a long time ago. And we're finding them now. Some of the stuff that we're finding now, or being told, or using by the manipulation of the past, is false information about things to make us believe the Bible's not so right after all. And the deceptions coming will be even greater than the minuscule ones that seem people want to try to broadcast as shocking, you know, Jesus is buried or something like that. Well, if you're really a believer, you'd pretty much know that was pretty much hogwash. But if you understand the concept of needing to get Antichrist to have some sort of bloodline and so forth to be accepted by, like, the nation of Israel and everything like that, then you gotta have something that solidifies a foundation of credibility that goes back for quite some time. And then when we see this today, here they are bringing out that information that goes back 1,000 years, hundreds of years. Well, they find it so old, isn't it true? After all, the Vatican wanted to use the corrupt version. Well, they were ordered to, basically. But when they found that corrupt version, they adopted it as their official Bible. And after all, no Catholic can read. I mean, it was Latin, and only the priest can tell you what it means. So, you know, it didn't have too much of an effect until the Bible started becoming in English or in the native language. And then it wasn't until, most of the time by at least Protestants, the Bible was used in the original manuscripts, which are also in the second century. The counterfeit of getting Latin Vulgate in the corrupt version was that the timing would be so good that it would be in that same century that the real version was translated into Latin Vulgate, which was used until the 16th century, where King James translated into the King James Version, and this became so popular the other versions of the real Bible faded away. Until today, if you want a real Bible, you got to get the King James. There's just no other way around it. And then this one, that became the corrupt version in the 1880s by Westcott and Hope, became the Church of England's Bible, which all modern translations are from. And the modern translations really didn't start getting reprinted until Israel became a nation. And then they began to explode as we're getting closer and closer to the end of that generation. And so, we have a big problem. And what I'm wanting to come here is to try to get you to understand, get the big picture. It's not going to happen the way you are. You're going to go through 1,260 days minimum of the tribulation. You're going to see 3.3 billion people die. And that man over there is going to look very much like Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Now read the King James Bible. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Tune in each week. See you next week.